closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
Hello, and I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BYGP locker room, and we are definitely getting closer, not only to the beginning of this show, but also to the upcoming football season. The NBA just ended, and now people are going to start turning their attention to football. We've got a lot of young athletes, as I speak, out at camps, showcases, grinding, trying to find their way, trying to get that scholarship offer, trying to make their dreams come true. So for those that are joining us for the very first time, Before You Go Pro is a company that is solely focused on helping young football players mentally, morally, and socially. Tonight's show is in line with our mission, and tonight we have two amazing guests. Guys that I have been fortunate enough to call friends. One of them was a former teammate, looked at to me as basically a family member, a former roommate of mine. The other is somebody that I competed against in high school. We formed a tight bond as competitors, and then he went on to have a great college career, and now we work together to help get kids to the next level and expose them to college. So I am very happy, very fortunate. You guys are in for a treat with the two young men that we have on tonight. And we'll get started with my former roommate, Victor Rogers. Hey, Big Vic, can you hear us tonight?
Yes, sir. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, boss man. And, hey, I know you are busy back in Colorado with the family and work. But you know I always value your opinion and your insight. So thank you for coming on tonight.
Oh, ain't no thing, man. Ain't no thing.
And we already have, I call him RJ, but everybody else knows him as Ronald Jones. RJ, can you hear us tonight?
Yes, sir. Loud and clear.
All right. So, hey, fellas, we are ready to go, and as you guys know, you know what the company is all about. We want to get these kids gamed up, these young men gamed up, because they want to get to the level that you guys have already been to, and your insight is influential for these young men. So first and foremost, I want to start with you, Vic, and you know, so much of big-time football, and big-time is even at the younger stage now with some of these high schools. You look at IMG in Florida. You look at a Bishop Gorman in Vegas, a De La Salle in Concord, California. Big time starts at the high school level. When you were coming out of Federal Way, Washington, you were one of the top offensive tackles in the country, by some considered the top offensive tackle in the country. Did you have a feel for how football was turning into a business when you were leaving high school?
You know, to be honest, not really. When I came out of high school, I mean, the landscape has changed so much now. You know, when I was in high school in 97, there weren't all these cell phones and social media, and eyes weren't really on you at all times. So for me, coming out, I still kind of lived in that, what I kind of like to say, good old days, where really I just had to play ball, keep my nose clean, you know, not get in any trouble or anything like that, and kind of just follow the next steps. I didn't have to be so vigilant about every single thing I was doing being watched and things of that nature. So in these respects, these guys who are coming out nowadays just have a lot more responsibility on them. I mean, you got to watch your friends just as close as you watch your enemies. You got to make sure that you're putting in that equity with people who have power, i.e. teachers, coaches, adults, because ultimately they're going to be the ones who are going to vouch for you and be the ones who kind of put you up on that next level when you really need it.
Now, we're all parents. Vic, you're a parent. I'm a parent. RJ's a parent. As parents, it's our job to kind of keep eyes out and keep our kids safe and have discernment for our young ones. Did you feel like your parents knew what the football industry was all about, or that they felt like it was business when you were getting recruited?
You know, I think it really hit me and my family once I started taking recruiting trips. Like, man, this ain't for fun. This is big business. You know what I mean? And I think once I started taking recruiting trips and my parents started to be exposed to coaches and academic advisors, and started seeing these stadiums and started seeing the weight room facilities and just how much revenue the universities bring in through football, I think that's when it kind of hit us that, you know, we're going from small time to, you know, a Fortune 500 company, a billion-dollar industry.
Great feedback right there. And, RJ, let me run it to you real quick. When did you start to realize – throughout your football career that, okay, this is a business, this is serious, I need to be on my P's and Q's?
Really, it hit me my freshman year in junior college. I did an alternate route. Some people go out of high school. I actually went to a junior college first. When I got to the junior college and I saw everybody getting recruited, saw coaches coming out of everywhere from every school in the country, it made me feel like it was real, like it's really an opportunity to go to college. I saw older players going to college, getting scholarship offers, and that's when it was like, okay, this can really happen, this can really take place. That's what I would think would be the thing that made me think that it was actually real.
Now, obviously, as competitors, we're always kind of sizing up the competition. We realize, especially today, these young athletes, they're only a click away on the computer as far as realizing, you know, what type of offers their competition has. Was it hard for you to kind of stay in your lane when you were coming out, or did you kind of evaluate what other guys were getting and the attention they were having and kind of judge yourself against it?
I was kind of in a little bubble. I really didn't know what was taking place in other states. I really didn't even know what was going on at the colleges I was taking trips at. I would advise anybody who is getting recruited to actually look at the college they're going to. Players are there, know what type of system they're running, knowing if your talents and skills fit into that system. Since I was in such a small bubble, pretty much I just went off the fact that everybody from my school left out and they succeeded, so the pressure was on me to know that wherever I go, I have to succeed as well. And then being from California, when you go out of state, most out of state people think that, oh, you're from Florida, or you're from Texas, or you're from California, so you have to be really good. So my mindset was I had to live up to those expectations because I am coming from out of state.
Great point right there. And let me go back to you, Vic. You obviously decided to go to the University of Colorado. You know, so many athletes today, they don't really fully realize who kind of holds their fate in their hands. Did you realize that when you were in high school? I mean, obviously you probably figured your coach had something to do with it, but did you really realize who had your fate in their hands?
You know, I really didn't know who had my fate in my hands. I guess when you're young, you always kind of feel like you hold your own fate. But the one thing that my mom always taught me is she's like, you know, having boys and homies is cool, but you need to really put in that equity with teachers and coaches and decision makers. It's like, because when people do come around, whether it's a job, whether it's a university, whether it's whatever the case may be, they're going to seek out those people's opinion, not yours, because they already know what you're going to say. They want to know the people who are around you, who see you, see what kind of character you have. They want to see what those people really think about you. So I didn't really understand the full scale of how much, you know, me having a bad attitude or whatever the case may be could affect me. But I did know that at a young age that I needed to get allegiances with adults and people of power to kind of have my back, because I knew at some point in time, whether it was, you know, me applying for a job and needing a reference, or on a large scale, you know, going to the University of Colorado, or even on a larger scale, when all of a sudden the NFL draft came and scouts are starting to do research and digging on me, that I needed to have that good equity so people could kind of vouch for me and kind of, you know, be a voice for the kind of man I was.
Do you think it's easier for young men today to form positive perceptions of themselves, or do you think it's a little harder today, maybe with all the distractions?
You know, in some respects, I think it's harder because there are more distractions, and it's so much easier to get caught up in social media and what your friends are saying and what who and who is saying. But I think in some respects, if you're willing to be that person who still seeks out the advice of others, who still kind of seeks out, you know, knowledge from older people who've been there, people who are reputable and things of that nature, I think it differentiates you that much more from the field, because you're kind of the one who's willing to unplug and still put sweat equity into good old-fashioned just human relationships. So I think in some respects it's harder to kind of set yourself apart just because there is so much electronics and everything is through media. But if you're willing to do things the old-fashioned way, you know, people are going to remember a conversation and a handshake with you a lot more than a post on Instagram. So I think even though there's a lot of obstacles, I think if you're willing to do it the right way, it'll go a lot farther than it used to.
Great point right there. And hopefully you young athletes are listening. I think Vic hit the nail on the head with that. You know, you can set yourself apart today too if you do things the old-fashioned way. RJ, let me talk to you, because you mentioned that you went from junior college and then you went all the way to the University of Missouri. When you got on campus at Missouri, did you have a good feel for the type of guys that you should hang out with, and maybe some of the guys that didn't have the best perception on the team?
It was all a learning experience. I mean, I was wide-eyed. I really didn't know what to look for. I really wasn't guided in any type of way. So it was pretty much like on-the-job training. I had to figure out what type of guys I want to hang out with, which guys fits my character. Do I want to hang out with my position people? Because that's the first people that you meet in position rooms. Do you want to hang out with regular student body? Do you want to hang out with Greeks? Or do you want to hang out with just your athletes? So it was a whole learning experience, and then learning myself. Once I figured out who I was, things got a little bit easier. When I first got there, the whole perception was, I'm me. I don't need to be around anybody else, because I was stuck in a bubble and I didn't know anything. But as I got more comfortable, as I got to know myself better, I opened up and I got to actually enjoy and pick up and learn from the experiences of other players that put me in the right position. Players who were totally opposite of me. And, I mean, till today, I consider them great human beings, great friends, and I never would have considered myself even being around somebody of that nature, and I'm so glad I opened myself up to welcome that opportunity.
As far as the NFL, obviously the NFL is a billion-dollar industry, and there's a lot of money on the table for the individuals, also for the owners. And, you know, social perceptions are everything right now when we live in a smaller world because of the internet. What's your opinion of the reason why Colin Kaepernick doesn't have an offer yet, a contract?
I think people are scared. It's a business. It's not his talent, in my opinion. I don't believe it's his talent. I think that owners think that they might lose money from fans not wanting to support him. And you got to keep in mind that the NFL is a business. believe it or not, really aren't the best players on the team. But the fans like them. They have to be out there playing. That's just how it works. You have to have – it's a business. And if you're going to put your best product out there, so fans can come and see them. I believe that if he does get an opportunity, he will be some – he has the opportunity to be productive. But it all depends on if somebody's going to give him that shot.
Do you think he was aware of what might happen when he took the stance that he did last year?
I think he was completely aware of it. And the way that times work in the present, people things in a negative way. 50 years from now, 100 years from now, people might be praising him for what he did. People were mad at Tommy Smith and John Carlos for what they did when they were San Jose State, when they raised their fist at the Olympics. Now you see that poster everywhere across the country. I mean, in classrooms and people's bedrooms. That is a famous picture. But when that first took place, I mean, they weren't even welcomed back in America, pretty much. When Muhammad Ali said, you know what, I'm not fighting, I would rather go to jail. They put that man in jail. So back then, people weren't siding with Muhammad Ali. They were mad at him. We don't like you. We should go leave America. But guess what? 30, 40 years afterwards, he's one of America's favorite all-time athletes. So it's hard living in the present because it's hard to reflect on things. But in the future, when they go back on it, people will say, you probably did the right thing.
Great point right there, RJ. And let me get back to you, Vic, because you obviously played in the NFL. You know how every decision is thought of, not just from an on-the-field standpoint, but also from an off-the-field standpoint. If I was to put you in the GM chair for the New York Giants, knowing everything that Odell Beckham brings on the field, but also knowing what he brings off the field from the outside looking in, is he somebody that you would want to give a max deal to?
You know, I'd say looking at it, yeah. I mean, you look at him and he's a supreme talent. And when you look at most of the stuff that Odell Beckham does, it's more of immaturity. It's not, a Pac-Man Jones. It's not a situation where he's doing criminal stuff. You know, he's out there being a public menace and he's doing things that shed a bad light, quote unquote, on your organization. They're almost like teenage stuff, like stuff that you see a teenager, a young man do who hasn't really grown up yet. But from all accounts, when he's on the field, you can't question what he brings to the table. It sounds like he's always in practice, sounds like he's always going hard. So, I mean, I think a lot of the immature things that you do, they're very rarely you're going to get the perfect package of somebody who, you know, has supreme talent, works hard, great attitude all the time, you know, an ultimate leader. I mean, there's been plenty of players who are great players who aren't quote-unquote leaders. For example, let's look at a Carmelo Anthony in the NBA. Great player, not necessarily a leader, you know what I mean? But you compensate him for what he does as a player. So I think Odell Beckham, yes, he has some flaws. He has some blemishes. I think it's one of those things where you're investing the money in him. You need to kind of let it be known, like, look, we're putting this money in you to be the face of our franchise. It's like, so with that, there's certain responsibilities that come with it. But overall, I think the man deserves to be paid.
Do you feel like some of the players today, whether it's Odell Beckham or I don't know, some of the antics that you see with some of the other guys, does that make it a little bit harder for a younger athlete, maybe an aspiring athlete, to know what boundaries he can push with his team?
Absolutely. I think it definitely does. And, you know, let's make no mistakes about this. These things have been going on since sports began. You look at the days of Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle, and you go back to Michael Jordan with the Atlantic City and the gambling. Athletes have been behaving the same way forever. The problem is now you have a microscope on you all the time. And with that being said, you just kind of have to know that these athletes nowadays are looking at themselves as a brand. They're not trying to just get paid for what they do on the football field. They're trying to get paid for their mass appeal, whether it be Nike, whether it be Coca-Cola, whether it be you know, whatever. They want to be in the shoe commercials. They want to be in the rap videos. They want to be on the Tag Heuer watch commercials. So guys are trying to build a brand. And unfortunately, our society has let it be known that the more talented you are, the more leeway you have. Like I said, it's not right, but it just is the way that it is. So a young athlete now could get enamored with the, oh, man, they let Odell Beckham do this, and, you know, I'm going to try to pull this with my coach because my coach needs me or whatever. You like to think the athletes wouldn't go that way, but it would be naive to say that they wouldn't. Now, I would say this. This is where you got to check your own ego, because let's just be real. Just because you're the baller on the high school football team doesn't mean you don't get the same leeway as Odell Beckham, who's one of the top three, if not five, wide receivers in the world. So I think you kind of got to have some self-reflection and really realize where you're at that point in time and realize that you haven't made it yet. So the things that you do, that you see Odell Beckham doing, are going to burn bridges for you, while for him, because he's supremely talented, he may be able to get away with it.
I love it. I love it, Vic, because you're always honest. And for you guys listening, what Vic is talking about is talent tolerance. You know, the GM, the scout, the coach at your high school, everybody's going to be a little bit more tolerant if you're extremely talented. So don't get it twisted. Just because you see Odell Beckham get away with this, just because you see Cam Newton get away with this, don't think that applies to everybody. So you have to have some self-awareness of where you stand as an individual player. RJ, I want to come back to you. And for those that are listening, you're in the BYGP locker room. I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, with two former football greats. Vic Rogers played at the University of Colorado and was drafted by the Detroit Lions in 2002. And then Ronald Jones, we call him RJ, was a great player, junior college, national champion, and then went off to play at the University of Missouri. RJ, I wanted to throw this at you. We have roughly about 10 minutes left because you are an educator, you are a teacher. Do you think that college recruiters form different perceptions of players that keep their academics high?
Definitely. For most coaches, I actually used to coach college football as well. If somebody has high grades, you would think that they have a high character. You would think that they're actually serious, because that's something that you actually have to work for. When it comes to athletics, some athletes are just automatically better than everybody else. You really don't really have to, because if you're the best, you really don't have to work as hard to show that you're better than everybody else on the field. But for when it comes to academics, you really have to work. You have to find time to sit down, study. You have to turn in your work. You have to get good grades on your quizzes, on your tests. You have to actually be in class. So that actually takes time and energy. So that means that either you already have that discipline, or somebody has been instilling this discipline in you, and that will carry over to when you get to college. That means that you don't have to be babysat all the time. Nobody has to watch you all the time because you're a trustworthy person. That's actually one of the hardest things to get, an athlete that actually is good academically and athletically. I actually just came back from the University of Stanford. I did a trip over there and got an opportunity to talk to their coaches. They told me that they would not recruit anybody that did not take AP courses. So no matter how good you are, if you don't have an AP course your senior year, you're not going to get into Stanford. So the best thing, or the recommendation that they gave to us, was you got to start your freshman year. You have to start your freshman year building academic excellence. That way when you get to your sophomore year, your junior year, your senior year, it's already instilled in you. You can't say your freshman year, okay, I'm just going to play around. Your sophomore year, oh, I'm still in school. Your junior year, now it's your senior year. Let me get serious about school now. By the time it gets there, for some people, it becomes too late. Academics is very important, and it just shows the quality of character.
I love it. Great advice right there. And let me ask you, Vic, why do you think, obviously some guys have extreme talent, but when we look at certain players, maybe in the NFL, somebody like a Alex Smith or something, you know, probably not going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's always going to have a job. thought very highly of in the NFL by his peers and the coaches. Why do you think some players are able to string out long NFL careers while other players who may be more talented fizzle out in 3 or 4 years?
I think the biggest thing is you hear it all the time. When you're in professional football, the word is professional, and they say it all the time. You got to be a pro in this game. So what happens to a lot of guys, and I say this all the time, I'm a firm believer that most guys aren't bust because they can't play football. Most guys are bust because now the lifestyle is more important than playing the game of football. When you're at the pro level, you are dealing with the best of the best. Your third-string DN who's busting the wedge on special teams might have been a three-time All-American in college. So the margin for error between the second-string dude and the first-string dude isn't that big. But I think what happens is once you become a pro, you approach the game and your body, most importantly, like it's your profession. You go into the season and you're like, okay, I need to be at this weight. I need to be at this strength. And you don't compromise that. That means when, you know, OTAs are done, and this time of year where you've got 5-6 weeks until camp, that doesn't mean hit up South Beach for four weeks, get drunk, get high, be partying every night and things like that. That means still going over your iPad, looking at your cut-ups of OTAs, looking at your pass sets, looking at your run fits, looking at things like that, still stretching, still putting the right fluids in your body, not dehydrating yourself. Things of that nature. It means being a professional. And what being a professional means is the organization can count on you to do your job. They don't have to worry about you coming late to meetings, being overweight, not knowing your assignments, not being a leader, not being somebody who they can count on, not showing up to, you know, rehabs when you hurt yourself. They want somebody who they can pay, who they know is going to show up, give their all every single day, and not give any excuses, and somebody that they can depend on.
Magnificent. That hit the nail on the head. Somebody that they can count on. That is what will keep you around. That will have a coach that goes to another team look for you when you're looking for a job. He's going to call you because he remembers how you work. So that is great advice right there. And before we let you go, RJ, because I know you're running, but I definitely wanted to ask you this. You're somebody that I've respected as somebody that did things right, that leveraged the game of football for life success. Before you get off the line with us tonight, the theme of this show is playing your cards right. What is some advice that you would give to our young players, our audience, about playing their cards right as they climb the ladder of football success?
As they continue to climb the ladder, make sure your circle is complete. Make sure that the people that are around you or have similar ideas or has your best interests. Make sure that the people around you want to see you succeed. That's the hardest thing. And just know that as you continue to grow and as you continue to climb, some people might not be going with you, and that is okay. Not saying that you have to say, okay, you're no longer my friend, I don't like you anymore, but just know that you are still growing and that everybody is not meant to grow with you. And just continue to try hard. Always give your best.
Great advice, man, and thank you so much for coming on tonight. You know we truly cherish the things that you say and your opinion, so we really appreciate your time, RJ. Thank you.
I appreciate you.
All right, so there you guys have it. That is Mr. RJ Ronald Jones, and he is somebody, like I said, had great success at the junior college level. Had many options coming out of San Francisco JC, went off to the University of Missouri, started right away at cornerback, and really made a mark on that team. So you can take it to the bank with RJ as far as some of the advice that he was giving you guys. Vic, we're going to go back to you before we leave off here tonight. And I always like to get practical with our audience. I always like to give them some tips or some things they can do right away. So I want to put you in a little bit of a situation and just tell me how you would handle it if you were playing today. And not just handle it, but handle it in a way that is perceived to play your cards right, a way that, that won't get you in any trouble. So let's say that you were down on the depth chart. You should really probably talent-wise and work ethic be the number one guy, but right now you're the number two guy, and you want to express to your coach that you want to be the number one guy. What's the best way for a young guy to handle that?
I think the best way to handle that is really by just showing them. Just showing them, you know, making sure that you know your assignments, making sure that when you're out there on the field and your coach is telling you to take a six-inch step, that you're taking a six-inch step. Being coachable, you know, and then once the time the competition comes, to stand out, because, you know, I've always been told that greatness can't be ignored. And if you're doing the things on the day-to-day basis to make you great, lifting weights, taking care of your body, being in your assignments, and being, just like I said, a professional, even though you're not a professional, sooner or later you're going to get your opportunity. And the biggest thing I would do, and I know this is going to sound impossible, I would keep social media to a very, very limited basis, to, if not at all.
Definitely. And what about as far as pushing my teammates? I'm a competitor. Obviously, I work hard, and I want to have be on a good team and have a good season. What's some advice about pushing teammates?
I think the biggest thing that you can do to push teammates is not be a hypocrite. So you can't demand anything out of your teammates that they haven't seen you do. So you can't sit up there and ask your teammates to push themselves harder during conditioning if you're always trying to get out of drills or always trying to pull some kind of stuff so you can get the easy way out. You can't sit up there and demand that your teammates lift harder when you're the first guy in the weight room and the first guy to get out of there because you don't want to push yourself and you're trying to get out of the workout that's posted the day. I think accountability is what breeds leadership. When the guys can look at you and say, this dude is doing everything that he's asking me to do, then you automatically kind of get that respect and guys automatically follow you because they're like, he's not telling me to go anywhere that he's not willing to go himself. And I think in today's society, action is the best way to do it because people can talk all they want to, but your actions show your true colors and your true character and who you really are.
Wow, I love it. And last but not least, if you were talking to Victor Rogers, 17, 18 years old, walking on the CU campus for the first time, nothing but opportunity in front of him, what would you tell young Vic Rogers about how to play his cards right?
I would probably say to take the weight room and your health a lot more seriously as far as nutrition and what you put in your body, because it has a long-term effect on how healthy you are and how able you're able to stay on the field. And I would tell my young self, take it seriously. Embrace it. It's like it goes a lot quicker than you think. And I feel like for the most part, I was pretty successful. But looking at it all over again, I would have definitely been more disciplined in some respects.
I love the honesty, brother. Appreciate the time so much tonight, and thanks for coming on.
You know it, brother. Love you. Take it easy.
Love you too, boss. So, hey, there you guys have it. That is a former roommate, 5 years with that young man at the University of Colorado. Amazing player, high school All-American, college All-American, went off to play for the Detroit Lions, and love Vic because he always, always shoots it to you guys straight. No punches pulled. He's going to tell you like it is because he loves you. And a few things that I took away from these two gentlemen, hey, don't be a hypocrite. If you want to push your teammates, you can push them, but you better be pushing yourself even harder. As far as what RJ said, Stanford will not even take a young man that's not doing AP classes. So they want to see serious kids off the field before they even offer you on the field. And then also keep in mind, old school fundamentals. Now the game is faster with social networking, but the old school fundamentals still work, you guys. Being cordial with people, being nice, showing that you have some chivalry on your social networking, you open the door for your mom and your girlfriend, you know, show all those things on social networking. And then last but not least, can we count on you? Can we count on you? The whole gist, the whole premise of this show was helping you guys figure out how to play your cards right. And there is nothing like saying, I can count on you. I can when I call on you, you're going to make that play. When I call on you, you're going to have your grades right. When I call on you and tell this college that they need to offer you, you're going to come through. I can count on you. So, hey, you guys, hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. If you didn't get to hear our last show, we took a week off as I was on somebody else's show, a good friend of mine. But we took a week off. But the week before that, we had one of our prized athletes, Rogesterman Ferris, in the locker room. He's currently starting star cornerback at the University of Hawaii. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore next year, so he's just got a super bright future ahead of him. And if you didn't get to hear his show, you can go to www.beforeyougopro.com. On the top right-hand side of the homepage, all of our social networking links are there, and there's a microphone on the top right-hand side that has all of the archived locker room shows. We've had coaches. We've had players. We've had business professionals. Everybody that has come on to the locker room show solely geared towards helping your journey and giving you some game so you can take it to the next level. So check that out, please. And we have tons of other content. Keep in mind, we are also a mentoring recruiting company. So we mentor kids on a daily basis, and we deal with colleges and help facilitate scholarships. So if you know somebody that needs that type of help, please reach out to us. All of our contacts are at www.beforeyougopro.com, and we will definitely take it from there. So once again, hopefully you guys had a great night. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.
Closer than I ever been. Closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer. I just know we're getting closer than I ever been.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. Get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting
closer than I ever been. Closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer. I just know we're getting closer.
My whole life's been a chase, it's a gift and a curse. Was on my way up to the top and slipped into reverse. And the same thing I thought killed me brought out the real me. That's real, see? You gotta find what you love and let it kill you. Just gotta live with the will like Uncle Phil do. Cause on the real, everybody go through times when the sun don't shine. Don't know when our time will come, but it will come in time. Cause yo, I said it first, ain't no telling where I'm headed. This is for the people that was with me when I said it. And when I said it, I meant it. I swear I won't forget it. Told my family and my friends that I'm forever indebted.
Closer.